Dear friends, all Christian churches committed to the historic biblical faith celebrate two ordinances commissioned by Jesus himself, baptism and the Lord's Supper. Jesus established the ordinance of baptism to mark those who belong to him. It's a sign and a seal of the New Testament, confirming and bearing witness to what Christ has accomplished for his people. In baptism, water symbolizes being spiritually cleansed by Christ's redemptive blood and being sealed by the Holy Spirit as God's people. Baptism is administered only one time. Baptism replaced the Old Testament sign of circumcision, which was administered only to males of a household and administered only one time. Circumcision pointed to the sinfulness of the human race, represented by its head, the fallen first Adam. It also pointed to humanity's need for the redemptive work of the sinless new Adam, the promised Messiah. Christ's incarnation, earthly ministry, and redemptive work fulfilled circumcision's symbolism. It had to be replaced by a different sign, pointing not to a future event, but to a fully accomplished salvation. The water in baptism confirms this. Jesus' sacrificial death fulfilled all that is needed for our forgiveness and cleansing from the stain of sin. Thus, the symbol of the blood in circumcision was no longer needed. The other ordinance, the Lord's Supper, like baptism, represents the fulfillment and end of another Old Testament institution. That was the Passover meal. That meal included two elements, unleavened bread and the sacrifice of a lamb without any blemish or defect. In the Bible, Christ's death is very closely linked to the fulfillment of the symbolic rites of the Passover. Jesus celebrated the Passover with his apostles shortly before he deliberately and voluntarily submitted himself to sufferings and death. We read in the 22nd chapter of Luke's Gospel, "And when the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, 'I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.'" Friends, first, we notice that Jesus met privately with his 12 apostles alone to celebrate the Passover meal. The Passover meal was meant for the Old Testament church represented in the 12 tribes of Jacob or Israel. The 12 apostles, however, did not represent the 12 tribes of Israel. Rather, they represented the New Testament church of all families of the earth who were promised divine blessing when God called Abraham to establish the ethnic nation, kingdom of Israel. Abraham was told that the divine promise of blessing for all families of humanity would be realized through one from his own line. From the start, Old Testament scriptures identified that one as the offspring of the woman. This was made clearer later through the prophet Isaiah. In his 7th chapter, we read of a virgin giving birth to a son. That, of course, pointed to Mary, a descendant from Abraham's line through Isaac, Jacob or Israel, Judah, and King David. The Gospel tells us that Jesus, who was seated at the head of the Passover table, was born through Mary. He is the promised seed, or offspring of Abraham. Second, we notice that Jesus expressed an eager desire to eat the Passover meal with his apostles shortly before his sufferings and death. He asserted that he would not do that again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Clearly, Jesus saw the symbols of Old Testament Passover as not yet fulfilled. As he celebrated the last unfulfilled Passover meal with his apostles, he applied the symbolism of the Passover to himself and instituted the Lord's Supper to replace it. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The apostles ate of the bread. Then we read that he took the cup and gave it to them, and he said to them, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." Friends, the unleavened Passover bread symbolized the body and soul of Jesus, the second Adam, uncorrupted by sin, unlike the sinful first Adam. The sacrificial Passover lamb symbolized the blood of Jesus. The bread and wine in the Lord's Supper celebrate that fact that Jesus fulfilled what the Passover symbolized. The apostolic teaching is clear. Jesus, as the divine lamb, offered himself on the cross and fulfilled the symbolism of the Passover. In the fifth chapter of the Apostle Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, Christians are instructed to abide in their new life in Christ. The apostolic instruction says, "Cleanse out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed." Clearly, therefore, Christ himself fulfilled the symbolism of the Passover in himself. The real meaning of the Passover was completely represented in his death. He died once for all. His death cannot and does not need to be repeated. The seventh chapter of the letter to the Hebrews makes this clear. It says, "He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself." The ninth chapter of the same epistle states that Jesus entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. Also, the tenth chapter asserts the same truth. It says, "And by that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." On his part, Peter, Christ's senior apostle, wrote in the third chapter of his first epistle, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit." Hallelujah.